In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's April 8th, year 2012, and it's Easter Sunday. Christ is truly risen.
Hallelujah.
And as I always say, don't let the apostate Jews or anyone else lie to you. Christ is truly risen. As a matter of fact, I just spoke with him this morning. All right, now this topic of our Easter 2012 sermon is going to be directed for converting Protestants and schismatics, baptized non-Catholics. It's directed towards them, but it will also help to convert Muslims and Jews and all unbelievers. But it's mostly directed towards them on this Easter Sunday, and we pray that God will give all the Protestants and schismatics and all the baptized non-Catholics all the graces they need to come into the true Catholic Church to have a hope to save their immortal souls. The topic of the title of the lecture is Men Must Believe in the Catholic Jesus to Be Saved. Now, Jesus Christ, in many places when he came and preached, told us that we need to believe in him to be saved. He says that in John 6:47. Amen, amen, I say to thee, he who believeth in me hath life everlasting. And right before he rose Lazarus from the dead, he was speaking to Martha, and he said to Martha, he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, although he be dead, shall live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall not die forever. You must believe in Jesus. St. John says in John 3:36, he says, he who believeth in the Son of Man shall have life everlasting. He that believeth not in the Son hath not life everlasting, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. So there you are, clearly Jesus Christ telling people that you need to believe in him to be saved. Now, what does believing in Jesus mean? This is the key topic we're going to talk about here. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Now, when you say you believe in a person, it could mean two things. The most common meaning when you believe in a person is that you have faith in that person. You believe in what he says. You believe in what he teaches. You believe in what he does, and you believe in what he commands. That's the most common meaning of to believe in a person. The second and less common meaning of believing in a person is that you believe he exists, or you believe in some of his attributes. But it doesn't necessarily mean you have faith in him, that you believe in all that he says and all that he teaches and all that he does and all that he commands. This is the kind of belief that the devils have in God. St. James says that in James 2:19, am I correct? Where he says, thou believest there is one God? Thou dost well, because the devils also believe there's one God, and they tremble. And he adds to that also, on that verse he goes, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. What he's saying is the devils have this second type of belief in God. They believe he exists. They believe in his attributes, that he's all-powerful and he's all-knowing. They know that. They know he's God. They know he's all-powerful. They know he's all-knowing. They know that he's got them a prisoner and they have to obey everything he says. But they do not have faith in him. They don't believe in what he says, they don't believe in what he teaches, they don't believe in what he does, and they hate his commands even though they're forced to obey him. So they don't have faith in him, but they do believe he exists. That's the second type of belief, all right, that we're talking about. And that's the kind of belief, believe it or not, and Protestants and schismatics and all baptized non-Catholics have. They have that kind of belief that the devils have, the second kind of belief. Why? Because they do not believe in all that Jesus Christ said, and all that he taught, and all that he did, and all that he commanded. That's faith. Belief and faith involves all of that. It's not simply just to say, as the Protestants take out of context, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. He who believes in Jesus in his heart and confesses on his lips is saved, or all you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus to be saved, Romans 10:13. That means believing and confessing everything Jesus Christ teaches. We read about that in the Catholic commentary on that Romans verse, the Challoner commentary on Romans 10:9. He says, to confess the Lord Jesus and to call upon the name of the Lord is not barely to professing a belief in the person of Christ, but moreover implies a belief of his whole doctrine and in obedience to his law, without which the calling him Lord will save no man. The Dewey Reams commentary on that says also, to believe in him and to invocate him is to serve him with all love and sincere affection. All that do so shall doubtlessly be saved and shall never be confounded. Therefore, only Catholics, is which we're going to prove here, believe and have faith in Jesus, because they believe and have faith in everything that he said, everything that he taught, everything that he did, and everything that he commanded. Now, Jesus Christ said himself in John 8:51, he says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." We have to keep his word. And what are some of the words that Jesus Christ told us that we must keep in order to be saved? Some of the things that men must do to be saved are as follows, which Jesus and his apostles and disciples teaches. They must be evangelized. They must hear the word of God. The gospel must be preached to them. They must obey all of his commandments. They must belong to his church. They must be subject to the rulers of his church, which includes the head of his church on earth. They must pray. They must learn the faith. They must do penance. Those are the three pillars: prayer, learn the faith, and do penance. They must get baptized. They must eat his flesh and drink his blood. They must confess their sins to the apostles and their priest successors. They must do good works, and they must keep the faith. All this Jesus Christ teaches, even in the Protestant and Schismatic Bibles. Even in the Bible that the Russian Orthodox Schismatics, the Greek Schismatics, the Lutherans, the Anglicans, the Presbyterians, and all baptized non-Catholics have, they have that in their own Bibles. Staring them in the face every time they read it. And the only thing that prevents you from not listening to it is because of pride. You're breaking one or more of God's commandments mortally and obstinately, and you don't want to see it because you don't want to give up your mortally sinful life. This sermon is going to prove to you all these things that Jesus Christ is telling us that we must do. And that proves then that we have belief in the true Jesus Christ and that we have true faith in Jesus Christ. Now we're going to read where Jesus Christ teaches that for men to be saved, the word of God, they must be evangelized. They must hear the word of God. It must be preached to them. Right before Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, when he was on Mount Olivet, he told the apostles in Matthew 28, as recorded in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, go forth and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He there is authorizing the apostles to go forth and teach all the nations. He said the same thing in Mark 16, 15 to 16. Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And then he talks about the necessity of hearing the word of God in Luke 8, 21. He says, "My brother, my mother, my brethren, are they who hear the word of God and keep it." And we read that Jesus talks about the Good Shepherd verses. He says in John 10, 27 to 28, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them life everlasting." They hear my voice. And he teaches this, St. Paul teaches this in Romans 10, 17, which says, "Faith cometh by hearing the word of God." I'm going to read that whole verse, though, which is very powerful. It's Romans 10, 13 to 17. He says, this is St. Paul speaking, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Or how shall they believe him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, of them that bring glad tidings of good things. But all do not obey the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Faith then cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of Christ." Clearly, then, that's one of the first things we need is we have to hear about Christ and the gospel. It needs to be preached to men to be saved. Now, Jesus Christ then teaches, this is what they're being taught about what Jesus Christ is telling us through his church and through his apostles. He teaches us Christ himself in Matthew 19:17. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. All right? Now, we also read that in Hebrews 5:9, St. Paul says, he became Jesus to all that obey him the cause of eternal salvation. To all that obey him. Now, let's just back up one second here. Stay right on this verse and go on this verse. Right here, we're going to talk about the commandments. Jesus Christ is saying, what does belief and faith in him mean? It means we need to obey his commandments to be saved. Now, that rules out every baptized non-Catholic. It rules out every Protestant and schismatic. Why? They don't keep the first commandment because they don't believe in the true Jesus. They don't believe in the true Most Holy Trinity, which this lecture is going to prove to you, because they don't believe in everything that Jesus says, taught, did, and commanded. The Jesus they believe in is false. So they're worshiping a false God. Now, all the Protestants that believe in the Lutheran heresy of you can be saved by faith alone or by just believing in Jesus are also condemned by this. Because Jesus is saying you need to obey all his commandments. They're condemned by several things in here also, because they don't believe you need to obey God's commandments. They don't. All Lutherans said is you just got to say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God and the Messiah, and you're going to heaven. That's all. That's what he believed. That guy's even worse than he's even a worse liar than the Protestants that will at least believe you need to do good works also to be saved. But none of them believe in the true Christ or true Jesus, so none of them can obey the first commandment. Now, the next three topics, things that Jesus needs, tells us that men need to believe in to be saved, rules out Protestants and schismatics also, and all baptized non-Catholics, which is, he tells us, we need to belong to his church. We need to be subject to the rulers of his church, which includes the head of his church on earth. This they do not do. Now, we're going to read where Jesus says that if you don't belong to his church, you're like a heathen, you're like a pagan. He says that in Matthew 18:17. If he will not hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. If he will not hear the church, he's a heathen, he's a pagan, he's a publican. What church is that, Mr. Protestant? What church is that, Russian Orthodox schismatic man? What church is that, you Greek schismatic, who have their own little national churches? Those particular schismatic groups. The Anglican Church in England. They have their little island churches, all separated from one another. What church is that that Jesus is saying that you need to listen to? And St. Paul talks about this church in 1 Timothy 3:15. The house of God is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The church of the living God. You need to belong to that church. Jesus also tells us Jesus and his apostles and disciples tells us that you must be subject to the rulers of his church to be saved. Now he's telling us his church has a hierarchy. Bishops, the Pope, bishops, priests, deacons, a hierarchy. And we're going to read that right now. Jesus, we already read in Matthew 28 where he commissioned his apostles to go out and teach. He gave them the commission to teach. And then he says about the apostles, which were, Peter was the first pope and the other apostles were the bishops. And Luke 10:16, he says, he that heareth you heareth me. And he that despises you despises me. You must hear them. And it doesn't mean just, it means you must obey them. And you must listen to them and be subject to them to be saved. St. Paul teaches that in Acts 20:28. He says, take heed to yourselves and the whole flock whom the Holy Spirit has placed you bishops to rule the church of God. He's talking to the bishops of the church. He says, to you bishops who are ruling God's flock, his church on earth. St. Paul's telling us right there, there's bishops in God's church that rule his flock. Acts 20:28. And we read in Hebrews 13:17. St. Paul speaking again, obey your prelates and be subject to them. Now that rules out all the Protestants. Now some of the schismatics, they have obedience to their heretical and schismatic patriarch. But he does not have obedience to the head of the church, and he doesn't belong to the church. He's a broken off limb. He's the leader of a heretical sect that's about as good as he is. And it stops right there. They don't believe in the Pope and the papacy. They don't believe the Pope is the supreme head of the church. And that's where they get knocked out. Now, St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, 1-2, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ, and keep my ordinances as I have given them to you. So these are all verses that we're teaching. There's a hierarchy in the church. St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, we beseech you, brethren, to know them who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord. Now, prots hate that. Oh, they love democracy. You know why? Because it fits their credo. Their heretical credo of democracy, that we're all equal, we can all interpret the Bible on our own, we're all our own mini-pope, no man can teach us or tell us what to do. No one's over them. And it related then into the political arena too. All right? But here clearly we're learning that there's people that are in God's church, his one church, because there's only one God and one church, that are ruling this church. Now we read... Now, the verse that we read, this is the verse the Protestants and the Schismatics hate the most, where he made Peter the head of the church, where he's telling them, you're going to be the head of the church. And everybody knows what that is, Matthew 16:16-19. And Simon Peter answering said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. For behold, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He gave Peter the keys, and he told Peter he's going to be the ruler of his church. And he also did that in a verse later on, after he rose from the dead, and Peter did the triple confession, where he says, you know I love you, Lord. And he had to say it three times, and he says, feed my sheep. So he's now making, in that particular verse, Peter the head of the church, which has been believed by all the church fathers, it's been believed by all the church fathers who knew the apostles, all the church fathers who knew the church fathers who knew the apostles. We have an unbroken line of tradition on the supremacy of the Pope, of Peter as the head of the church. The one man on church, the supreme leader on church, of God's church on earth. And that rules out all baptized non-Catholics. It rules out the Protestants, the Russian schismatics, and the Greek schismatics. They want you to obey them, the Russian Orthodox schismatic. They have a hierarchy, but it breaks off at the bishop. It doesn't go to the Pope. He wants you to obey him, but why should you even obey him? Why? Why? He doesn't obey the Pope in Rome. He disobeyed the supreme head of the church, and that's why they're splintered in all different groups. You got the Egyptians over here. You got the Greek schismatics over here. You got the Russian Orthodox over here, and it's all nationalistic churches, not universal, and he wants you to obey him. Why should you obey him? If you're going to knock out the head of the church, well, let's knock out the bishops. Why obey him? And if you're going to say we're going to have the bishops and you get some type of a democracy, nothing runs that way. You always need to have a single ruler that makes a decision. And God's decisions aren't made through democracy anyway, but that's beside the point. Jesus Christ himself said, I have one church and I made one man the ruler. God always only supported a monarchy or a theocracy with a supreme religious ruler. That rules out then these three points I just meant to you. What Jesus said you need to do, you need to belong to his church or be a heathen. You need to be subject to the rulers of the church, which including the head of the church, which is the Pope on earth. Rules that, and Jesus said you need to do these things. Now, Jesus also said you need to pray to be saved. Men need to pray. Luke 22:40, pray lest you enter into temptation. Luke 18:1, we ought always to pray and never to cease. And then in Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believe it and you shall receive. That's the very first way that man comes to God, is by prayer. And without it, you can't be saved. Then we see Jesus and his apostles and disciples teaching that you must learn the faith to be saved. So once you hear it, then you have to listen to it and you have to learn it. We read in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. And 1 Timothy 4:16 we read, take heed to thyself and doctrine, be erst in them, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You will save yourself by hearing and learning the doctrine, the Catholic faith. This is what we're all coming down into, this faith that we're talking about, this belief in this Jesus, it's all Catholic. He's telling us we need to learn his faith. According to a Protestant, you only need to learn, the Lutheran-type Protestant, you only need to learn two things. That Jesus Christ is the Savior, redeemed mankind, Son of Man, rose from the dead, and He's God. Go home. You're done. That's your catechism lesson, and that's all the works you need to do. You know, they don't even believe you need to pray. We asked. Sister Jane's heretical Protestant brother, who at one time was a Catholic, and we asked him, you know, you don't even need to pray, according to Luther. You don't need to pray. Just do your altar call. I believe in Jesus. These buffoons using our Lord's name in sacrilegious vain and blasphemies. That's all you need to do is say, I believe in Jesus. Come up to the altar and say, I believe in Jesus, and go home and you're saved. You can go out and rape and pillage and plunder. How many times did St. Paul tell us in many verses that no fornicator, no idolater, no adulterer, no murderer, no drunkard, no railer, no extortioner shall enter the kingdom of God? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, and Ephesians 5:5, and there's another one. Many times. Now, here he's telling us that you need to study your faith to be saved. All right? We read this too in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right? And it says here, 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready to satisfy everyone who has the reason to hope that's in you. You have to learn the faith first to save your own soul, and then also so you can preach it to others to be saved. Jesus also teaches for men to be saved, they need to do penance. Luke 13:3.
Unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish.
Unless you do penance. Not just the type of belief and faith the Protestants speak of, right? I believe in Jesus. It's the first kind of belief you need, not the second. You're beginning to understand how what I say about they have the second type of belief in Jesus, which is they believe He exists and they believe in a few of His attributes. They don't have any real faith in Him, even though they say they do, because they don't believe in all that He says. And they don't believe in all that He commands. Open your Bible and read Luke 13:3. Lest you do penance, you shall likewise perish. We read about this too. Jesus said, and Luke 17:3, take heed to yourselves. If a brother sin against thee, reprove him. If he do penance, forgive him. If he do penance. So here he's teaching us we need to do penance. Then Jesus teaches men to be saved. They need to be baptized to be saved. You know, according to Luther, you don't even need to be baptized. Just believe in Jesus. And some of them do believe that. Baptism is just some type of a ritual. It's a nice thing, but they don't really need it. But you got all different kinds of Protestants out there. But he says you need to be baptized. In John 3:5, he says, amen, amen, I say to you, unless a man be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We read about it in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized, shall be saved. And that's incorporated in the belief. Because if you say, I believe in Jesus, if you say, I have faith in Jesus, and Jesus says, guess what, Richard, you need to be baptized to say, that proves my, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. If I say, no, I don't really believe in Jesus in the first sense of the word. I really don't have faith in Jesus. No, I don't. So here he's clearly telling us we need to be baptized to be saved. Now, we read about the commentary on that, Mark 16:16, he that believeth, note well that whereas this evangelist mentioned only faith and baptism, as though to believe and to be baptized were enough, St. Matthew added these words also of our Savior, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, which containeth all good works and the whole justice of the Christian man. And we read in Acts 2:38, do penance and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now we got the penance and baptism being combined here. What Bible are these knucklehead Protestants reading? It's the same thing when we show them earthly things that they can easily believe in and they deny, like 9/11, the Holocaust hoax. All these earthly conspiracy things where you can clearly see that they're lying to you. And if people look at it and go, they still believe the lie. Because our Lord said, all men are liars. I'm telling you, Protestant schismatics, to humble yourselves. Get rid of your pride. I do love you. I do not hate you. I love all men that are living. But I hate your religion. I hate your false beliefs. And I hate your blasphemies against my religion. But God does love you. He still loves you. And that's why I'm preaching to you. Get rid of your filthy religions and humble yourself. And come into the one true Catholic Church before it's too late. And I'm not going to flatter you like everybody else out there. All you Baptists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Anglicans and Schismatics are all holding hands together and saying how you're all like believing in Jesus and you're all going to be saved. That's a bunch of hogwash. And some prots even know that. They're less dishonest than the other Protestants with this false ecumenical thing. That's even worse. But when I'm done with this, and I'm only giving you some of the things Jesus said you need to do to be saved. Examine your conscience and see if you're doing all these things. I know you're not doing them. Now, by God's grace, in my speaking to you, you have no excuse if you don't believe it when this lecture's as we're going on in this lecture. Now, Jesus said, also, we just said you need to be baptized. He said you must eat his flesh and drink his blood. He said that in John 6:54.
Yeah. Unless you eat this flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you should not have life in you.
Yeah, amen, amen. I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in you. They all know it here. They just when he was going to say it first. We just got done with the Holy Eucharist verses, right? Let's rattle them off. John 6:54, Matthew 26:26-28, 1 Corinthians 10:16, 1 Corinthians 11:27. But here he says, and John 6:54, amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. Now, the fundamentalists are good at taking everything literal but that. But he meant that literal because he said several other times. When he instituted the Holy Eucharist, he said it in Matthew 26:28, on Maundy Thursday, during the Last Supper. Once they were at supper, Jesus took bread and broke and gave to the disciples and said, take you and eat. This is my body. And taking the chalice, he gave thanks and gave to the disciples. And he said, take ye and drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament that shall be shed for many unto the remission of sins. And St. Paul speaks of it in 1 Corinthians 10:16, where he says, this chalice of benediction which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And this bread which we break, is it not the partaking of the body of our Lord? 1 Corinthians 11:27. Whosoever shall eat this bread or drink this chalice unworthily is guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. How's that for taking that literal? Now that wipes out all the Protestants. Now the schismatics happen to believe in that one. But you have to believe in them all. Sorry, you Russian schismatics. You're not off the hook neither. You believe in more truths than the Prots do, but you don't believe in them all. The way we know, and we get that when we're in here, is that whatever the Catholic Church infallibly teaches, those are the things that Jesus Christ wants us and that we must and we have to believe in. Now, clearly he's talking in here about the Holy Eucharist verses. And some Protestants, no Protestants believe it's the real presence. The Lutherans come close. They believe it's bread and his body and blood, but it's both. Catholic dogma is that it's under the appearance of bread and wine, it's Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. There's no bread there. There's no wine. They're called accidents. It appears to be that. And it tastes like that, but it's not. It's purely Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity under the appearance of bread and wine. It's called transubstantiation. Now, there you go. That's what Jesus is saying. If you don't do that, you can't be saved. That's another thing that Jesus tells us and commands us to do. He then says, after they're baptized and you're in his Catholic Church and you committed a mortal sin, the only way you can get it remitted is you got to confess your sins to priests. How does he teach that? He teaches that men must confess their sins to the apostles and their priest successors in John 20:21-23, where Jesus is speaking to his apostles and he says, and he breathed upon them and it said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they shall be forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they shall be retained. He's telling the apostles that they got to come to you guys. You good guys. The apostles were the good guys then, but not all bishops are good guys. You got some bad ones, but you can still confess to them even as long as you're Catholic and have your sins remitted. And he says, whose sins you shall forgive, they shall be forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they shall be retained. There is the sacrament of confession. And that's the only way Catholics who are mortal sin can get their sins remitted. And if you're outside God's Catholic Church, you can go to confession and do you no good because you need to be inside his church to get your sins remitted. You have to follow this whole sequence of events. Now, right now, again, the Russian Orthodox schismatics and the Greek schismatics believe in the sacrament of confession, but they use it invalidly. It's not even valid because they have no jurisdiction. For confession to be valid even. Now, they do confess the Holy Eucharist and they do have holy orders, but they don't even have the sacrament of confession because they need to get jurisdiction from the Pope, and they don't believe in the Pope. and that jurisdiction comes to them and enables them to remit sins they don't even have. So their sacrament of confession, even though they believe in it, is worthless. It's invalid because there's no remission of sins outside the Catholic Church. Protestants don't even believe in it. But here Jesus is saying it. You know, peace be to you. As my Father has sent me, I also send you apostles. When he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. Now, Jesus also says you need to do good works to be saved. I must have at least 200 verses on that. That you need to do good works to be saved. And that means the spiritual works of mercy and the corporal works of mercy. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Philippians 2:12, with fear, this is St. Paul speaking, with fear and trembling, work out your salvation. Romans 2:26, no, not Romans, James 2:26, what they hate.
Faith without works is dead.
Faith without works is dead as a doornail. All right? And Jesus, speaking in Apocalypse 22:12, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to his works. Open up your ears, you Protestants, and clean out the wax. It's not wax. I hope it's only wax, but it's mostly cement. I always say that. We're going to get a drill in there. Bah, 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 bah. But don't drill too deep because we want to save them. Open up. But you will get killed eventually and go to hell if you don't. Listen to what I'm saying. If you die tomorrow, you're going to hell for all eternity. Here he is telling us that you got to do good works. I can do a whole sermon on to be saved. Now, Jesus also teaches and his apostles and disciples that you must keep the faith. You must keep your belief and faith in his doctrines, which we call, which is his dogmas in the Catholic faith, to be saved. Matthew 10:33. But he that shall deny me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. When you deny any one thing that Jesus taught us, and you say, I don't believe what I've got to eat his flesh, you're denying Christ. Because Christ said you need to do it, and you're saying, no, I don't need to do it. That's a denial of Christ. We see in Titus 3:10-11, a man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, avoid, knowing that such a one is sinneth and is subverteth and is condemned by his own judgment. St. Paul says this in Romans 16:17-18. Brethren, mark those who make offenses and dissensions contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For such as these please not our Lord, but their own belly. And by pleasing speeches and good words, they seduce the hearts of the innocent. He says, avoid them who make dissensions contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Galatians 1:8.
If I or an angel light shall preach to you a different gospel, let him be anathema.
Amen, amen. I say to you, whether I, St. Paul says, or an angel from heaven shall preach another gospel other than the gospel we preach unto you, let him be anathema. Anathema means a heretic, excommunicated, outside the Catholic Church, and on the broad road to hell. Now, this last point is of particular interest to us at Marysville Remnant, few Catholics. Because this is what knocks Catholics out of the Catholic Church, too. If you don't keep his faith, if you're a notorious heretic, you fall outside the Catholic Church by anathema, automatic excommunication, and you are no longer Catholic, and you can call yourself Catholic till you're blue in the face. You can say I'm obedient to the Pope. You can profess all these other things Jesus said, but just deny one dogma and not keep the faith, and you're not Catholic. You can't be saved. You're outside the Catholic Church. And that's how we know that the Vatican II Church, with the rat man, apostate anti-pope, Benedict XVI, and all the apostate anti-popes of the Vatican II Church, are not true popes, they're not Catholic, they're outside the Catholic Church, that whole church isn't Catholic, because they're notorious heretics on one or more dogmas. They culpably doubt or deny dogmas. They're outside the Catholic Church. Jesus said, it's not only can you not be saved, but you're also now outside the Catholic Church, and you need to come back into that church if you want to have your sins remitted and have a chance to be saved. And that's how we know all those traditionalist groups out there that call themselves Catholic are not, because they do not keep the faith. I've done many sermons on that. All you have to do is culpably deny one dogma, and you are automatically excommunicated outside the Catholic Church, which means all you have to do is doubt or deny a basic dogma or culpably doubt or deny a deeper dogma. You do that, you're a notorious heretic, you are no longer Catholic, you have not kept the faith, you are outside the Catholic Church. So, what do we say about the Vatican II Church and all these traditionalists? You don't believe in a real Jesus. You believe in Jesus the way the devils do. You believe in a few, you believe he exists, you believe in a few of his attributes, but you do not believe in all that he teaches. You don't, and therefore, you're not Catholic, you don't believe in the true Jesus, you don't believe in the true Christ. Just like the Protestants and Schismatics. Now, all you baptized non-Catholics, call yourself Christians, you say you believe in Jesus, I already made it clear you don't. And I'm going to give you some teachings from, a few teachings, from the popes and I think maybe the church fathers, showing you what they teach. The minute you deviate from a doctrine or you're outside God's church, you're not a true Christian. You don't believe in the true Jesus. I made that clear. To believe in somebody in the first sense, the most common sense, is to have faith in him, which means you got to believe in everything that he says, everything that he teaches, everything that he does, and everything that he commands. And if you don't do that, you don't believe in him. You don't have faith in him. You're then worshiping a false Jesus. We're going to read that. St. Cyprian, in his Epistle 51 to Antonianus, says, he who is not in the Church of Christ is not a Christian. That's the Catholic Church. Pope Leo the Great, Epistle 124, Chapter 8 says, I am surprised that you, beloved, have any difficulty in discerning the light of the truth. And since it has been made clear by numerous explanations that the Christian faith was right in condemning both Nestorius and Eutyches with Dioscorius, and that a man cannot be called a Christian who gives his assent to the blasphemous opinions of either the one or the other. He cannot be called a Christian. Well, what he means is you can call yourself a Christian. He's saying, but you're not a real Christian. You're not a real Christian. Now, Pope Pius XII said, to be Christian, one must be Roman. One must recognize the oneness of Christ's church that is governed by one successor, the Prince of the Apostles, who is the Bishop of Rome, Christ's vicar on earth. He said this in an allocution to his Irish pilgrims. Pope Leo XIII in Satis Cognitum, 1896, so long as the member was of the body, it lived. Separated, it lost its life. Thus the man, so long as he lives on the body of the Catholic Church, he is a Christian. Separated from her, he becomes a heretic. St. Ambrose says on Luke, speaking on the book of Luke, and in its book 6, 101, he says, even heretics appear to possess Christ, for none of them denies the name of Christ. Nevertheless, anyone who does not confess everything that pertains to Christ does, in fact, deny Christ. St. Ambrose. St. Peter Canisius, in his Catholic Catechism, who is called a Christian? He who confesses the doctrine of Christ in his church. Hence, he is truly a Christian who thoroughly condemns and detests the Jewish, Mohammedan, and heretical cults and sects. If you don't condemn them, then you're part of them. You're sharing their guilt. That's what we get today. You're not allowed to condemn or judge anybody. What are the three H words we never hear today? Heresy, heretic, and hell. Don't dare say those words. And if you use the heretic word, don't say he's a guilty one. There's no such thing as a guilty heretic. Oh, we can never know any of these things. All right, now, St. Augustine says, heretics worship a God who is a liar, and a Christ who is a liar. And this is from Migne, Patriali Cursus Completus, Migne, Paris, 1866, 42, semicolon 207. I didn't get the exact quote from his works, but we'll have to investigate that. Let's say St. Augustine. Alright, now. It says, too, here's a commentary in Matthew 24:5. For many will come in the name of, in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they will seduce many. Now, the commentary on there is a beautiful commentary. It's from the Douay Rheims original commentary from the 16th century on Matthew 24, verse 5. I am Christ. Not only such as have named themselves Christ, as Simon Meander, and such like, but all arch heretics be Christs to their followers. Luther to the Lutherans, Calvin to the Calvinists, because they believe them rather than Christ speaking in his church. He's saying Luther made himself his own Christ. He chose not to believe in the real Christ. He took the place of Christ, and they're really believing in Luther. Look at the name of your church. The Lutheran Church. You're not even ashamed to do that. Some are so stupid. The Anglican Church. The Church of England. Is that the only church? Isn't it universal? But they do believe, they all, some of them co-opt the name Catholic and they take it and try to use it. It doesn't matter. The Vatican II Church, they think they're Roman Catholic. They're not. Because they don't keep the faith. Now, I'm going to just give three papal, infallible papal decrees on what we call a salvation dogma, proving there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church, because where Catholics really get all their dogmas from is not the Bible. That's where we get revelations from. We do use the Bible to get truth out of the Bible and the oral tradition of the apostles, but we need the popes to tell us what it means. And that's, and here we're reading of Pope Innocent III, infallible teaching in the Fourth Lateran Council, 1215, with our hearts we believe and with our lips we confess. But one church, not the church, not that of heretics, but the Holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church, outside which we believe that no one is saved. Pope Boniface VIII in his Bullum Sanctum 1302. With faith urging, as we are forced to believe and to hold, that only one Holy Catholic Church, and that apostolic, and we firmly believe and simply confess this church, outside which there is no salvation nor remission of sins. And Pope Eugene IV, Council of Florence, Bull Cantate Domino, 1441. The Most Holy Roman Catholic Church firmly believes, professes, and preaches that none of those existing outside the Catholic Church, not only pagans, but also Jews, heretics, and schismatics, can have a share in life eternal, but that they will go down into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels, unless before death they are joined with her. And that so important is the unity of this ecclesiastical body that only those remaining within this unity can receive an eternal recompense for their fasts, their almsgivings, and their other works of Christian piety and the duties of the Christian soldier. No one, let his almsgiving be as great as it may, no one, even if he pour out his blood in the name of Christ, can be saved unless he remain within a bosom and a unity to the Catholic Church. End quote. That means every person that dies worshiping a false god, practicing a false religion, or believing in no religion, or adhering to a non-Catholic sect, is damned to hell for all eternity. That's the salvation dogma. Now, we're going to pick on bad Catholics. We just picked on the Protestants and schismatics, hopefully for their... First, we do it for the glory of God and to make up for their blasphemies and their heresies and their teachings against our holy faith, and also making it impossible for other men who are listening to them to be saved. We're doing it for their own purpose too. As I said in the beginning of the sermon, this is specifically directed for the conversion of Protestants and schismatics and all baptized non-Catholics. But now we're going to tell you that once you come into the Catholic Church, that's only your beginning, because guess what? Most Catholics go to hell. So that doesn't even guarantee your salvation, because Jesus Christ said you need to obey all his commandments to be saved. Us Catholics never believed that we can just be saved by believing in Jesus. True Catholics don't believe that. So, what are we talking about? A Catholic. This is a key point we're going to make right here. He's Catholic because he believes in all the things that Jesus said, did, taught, and commanded. He believes in it. He believes Jesus said, by the way, a Catholic has to believe this, that Jesus said you must obey all of his commandments to be saved. For instance, Jesus said, whoever commits adultery goes to hell. You go to hell for committing adultery. It's a mortal sin if you die in adultery. Committing adultery is a mortal sin. Now, a Catholic who agrees with that is believing what Jesus teaches. Now, he may go out and commit adultery. He may not obey God's moral commandments. He may go out and steal. He may murder. And he's taught that he can't be saved that way because it's a mortal sin. Jesus says to be saved, you need to obey his commandments. But he's still a Catholic because he believes Jesus taught it. He knows it's a sin. He's got to go to his priest to confess it if he wants to get rid of it, his mortal sin, and do his penance so he can have a chance to be saved. But what happens if you have a Catholic who comes out now and says, I really don't believe that in all the commandments. I believe adultery is not a mortal sin. Now, that's heresy. That Catholic now has not kept the faith. He now doesn't believe in everything Jesus taught and commanded. He said you need to obey all his commandments. That so-called Catholic now comes out and says, I believe adultery is normal. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not a mortal sin, and it's just great. That's heresy. That's heresy. That place is the Catholic now. Outside the Catholic Church, he's no longer a Catholic. He's anathema because he hasn't kept the faith. But a Catholic who believes, as long as he believes Jesus says you got to keep the commandments, he believes he needs to do that, then at least there's some hope for him, even if he, when he breaks the commandment, that he knows what he needs to do to have his sin remitted. And what is that? He needs to confess his sins to the successors of the apostles, the priest successors, to Catholic priest, in the sacrament of penance. That's what he needs to do. So, our Lord said in Matthew, I think it's 26, many are called, few are chosen?
2016.
Matthew 2016, many are called, few are chosen. I'm not going to dwell on the verses here that now we're going to, but he teaches in many places that even very few Catholics are saved. So, you want to take this personal? You could. Look, I was a bastard. I was a pagan heathen. Even though I was baptized, I was living like a pagan myself. I was an evil rat bastard myself. So when I'm yelling at you Protestants, I still love you. God still loves you as long as you live. But once you die and go to hell, if you don't convert and become Catholic, there's no more love in hell. God hates you, and then we all hate you with the perfect hatred. It's another thing. Catholics must hate the devils and damn humans with a perfect hatred, as a person even, because there's no love in hell. But you're still alive. My sermon is for you. To wake up now before it's too late, and this sermon can also help Jews and Muslims also if they're listening to the things that you need to do to be saved. But it's directed mostly towards the Protestants and the Schismatics. Now, some of the other things amongst many that Jesus says you need to do to be saved, that men need to do to be saved, which I'm not going to give you the verses, I'm just going to read them out to you. Men must do the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. They must relieve the poor when possible. They must give alms when possible. They must love their enemies. They must kill obstinate evildoers. They must not be in religious communion with pagans, infidels, heretics, and schismatics. They must not be in religious communion or unnecessary secular communion with bad Catholics. They must be given last rites when in danger of death by authorized priests if possible. They must not sin. They must profess the faith when necessary. And those are just some other things, amongst others, that Jesus tells us. And you Protestants have in your own Bible and the schismatics that you must do to be saved. So we all pray, and we're sacrificing for your conversion to come into the true Catholic Church, to have a hope to save your immortal souls, and to try and to go out there and help to save the souls of others. That God will lift this veil of darkness and the operation of error that is upon you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.